In 1 week of activity, Israel has brought Iran to their knees with their campaign. Iran's missile attacks against Israel have begun to diminish, although damage has been done. The U.S. is weighing the possibility of joining Israel and striking Iran's last nuclear sites. Trump has given Iran 2 weeks to make up their minds, and Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran, his days are numbered. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, June 20th of the year 2025. And here's the news for the week. After 1 week of Operation Rising Lion, led by Israel and the IDF, more than 1,200 Iranian military targets have been hit and destroyed. Last week when I came to you, it was only 100. And in the course of this week, it's massive what has taken place in Iran. The IRGC targets have been destroyed. The Republican Guard's leadership has been killed. And in fact, top leaders are no longer with us. Their entire air force has been destroyed. A dozen nuclear sites have been hit. And last week, as we brought to you about Natanz, it's been hit hard. It is believed that the 15,000 centrifuges have been severely damaged there. And in fact, there's one report. There is a leakage of radioactive material, but it's self-contained within it. That site may, in fact, have been completely destroyed. Israel has been able to establish air superiority over all of Iran. I can tell you that from a military science standpoint, that is nothing short of a miracle for Israel to be able to travel more than 1,000 miles and establish air superiority over a nation that is twice the size of Texas. Iranian state TV here this last week was broadcasting. Their commentator was chewing everybody out, telling about how Iran is going to take care of Israel, when suddenly there was an Israeli bombing attack. You're going to love this video. Here's the video of what happened there. متجاوز به خاک وطن صدای متجاوز به صدای حق و حقیقت است آنچه که ملاحظه کردید صدایی که شنیدید فضای غبارآلود استادیو Israel is clearly ahead of their operational goals. When they started this campaign of Rising Lion, it was planned to be about a 2 to 3 week operation, but the success that they are enjoying with their military missions and the fact that they have not suffered casualties in carrying out that campaign, they are ahead of their operational goals. And in fact, we're looking at within 2 weeks, the original plan will have been completed. Israel, sadly, has lost one drone in this operation. No pilots, no aircraft. So in modern military terms, this is nothing short of a miracle. It's very clear the God of Israel is involved in Operation Rising Lion and is a part of what Israel is doing to Iran. Iran, as we expected, retaliated with ballistic missiles. On the first day of retaliation, more than 100 ballistic missiles were fired. And we've been seeing each day thereafter more ballistic missiles coming against Israel. Now, some of them have made it through, but we'll talk about that a little bit. But I need to clear up something for all of you in the audience, because the Western media absolutely does not understand what is really taking place here. So let me fill you in on it. These missiles, when they get launched out of Iran, they're detected by Israel. It's a satellite program, detects them on launch, and then can project what is the azimuth of the weapon. Where is it going? Is it going to northern Israel, central Israel, southern Israel? And they're able to set the warning out. And these warning times are anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes before the weapon makes it into Israel. Why is there a difference in time? Some of the missiles that Iran is using, and I think they've pretty much depleted them, were liquid-fueled missiles. You have to take the missile out, tip it up, fuel it up, and then you can shoot it. And that takes a little bit of time for it to do. that. So when they see the missile come out, get tipped up, start the fueling process, they know that weapon is going to be making its way in about 30 minutes toward Israel, and so they know the alert is going to be coming. The other missiles they have actually have mobile launchers, and they are solid fuel missiles, and you can shoot them immediately. It's about 15 minutes from the moment that Iran decides to shoot a missile until it arrives in Israel. And so that's the reason why you hear Israel being warned that weapons are coming in against them, and that's the reason why you're getting this 15 to 30 minute alert for them to get in their bomb shelters and so forth. We need to pray that the Israelis will follow that counsel and get in those bomb shelters, because you don't want to be anywhere near the ground when these weapons come in and go off. Now, the Western media is all telling you that Iron Dome is the one that's shooting them down. That is not correct. Iron Dome is a short-range anti-missile system. It's the one that they used against Hezbollah rockets and the Gaza rockets. Iron Dome does not shoot down ballistic missiles that we're talking about here. Those are traveling past the stratosphere and then re-entering the atmosphere, and that requires the Arrow 2 and Arrow 3 missile system. Once they get inside the atmosphere, the David Ling system, and those are the exo-atmospheric interceptors. In addition to what Israel has, the U.S. Navy has DDGs, anti-missile guided cruisers and destroyers. They're off the coast of Israel, and they have anti-ballistic missile technology, specifically the SM-3s can be launched and shoot down those missiles while they're above the atmosphere. The THAAD system that has been installed in Israel by the U.S. military, they also have the interceptors and are able to do the same thing, plus the Patriot anti-missile system that you've heard of from Gulf War days. The combination of Israel's Arrow 2, Arrow 3, David Sling, along with the U.S. Navy and the THAAD systems from the United States, they're the ones shooting down the rockets. Iron Dome hasn't shot down any of them at all. Iron Dome can shoot down drones and other small ordnance, and they're still taking on some of the stuff out of Hezbollah. These are the most sophisticated interceptors that are being used. However, this is an incredible fire control problem, and the fact that Israel has been able to knock down 98% of these ballistic missiles coming in with the U.S.'s help is another miracle of God that normally does not happen. However, I must advise you that because of the number of weapons that have been launched, the interceptors that are needed for the Arrow 2 and Arrow 3 systems are running low. Israel needs to stop those missiles from coming in. Otherwise, they will have free rein attacking Israel. Israeli casualties as a result of them are surprisingly low. However, more than 30 Israeli citizens have been killed. Buildings have collapsed. More than 800 casualties and injuries have taken place. And for Israel, for a nation of their size, that's way too many for them to do. I'm sure Israel has their limit as to how much damage they can sustain before they'll have to put an end to all of it. So that's the reason why the IDF is focusing on taking out the missiles themselves, the launchers, before they can be launched. And that's a major mission for the Israeli Air Force in Iran. Most recently, the other day, Iran sent a missile in that went off. It was hit, but it went off. And it was not carrying a high explosive. It was carrying what are called cluster bombs. These are like 20 small bomblets, and they scatter out and landed in central Israel. The IDF is having to go around and collect every one of them. Some of them hit a house and make a hole in the roof. They're very dangerous to people once they get on the ground, so Israel is having to contend and deal with that. That's a special kind of anti-personnel weapon intended to just do harm to people. At to date, Israel is announcing that they have destroyed 50% of the launchers that are needed to launch the weapons. Obviously, if you don't have a launcher, well, you don't have to worry about missiles coming off them. And Iran is apparently trying to do their best to flee to the eastern part of Iran and maybe taking some of their missile supplies and inventory with them out there to try to hold on to it. And at this point, Iran is trying to find a way to survive what the Israeli Air Force is doing to them in that area. Iran's drone strikes, then they've made several attempts to come over to Israel with those. They have been ineffective, and many of those drones have been shot down. In fact, when they shot the initial load of them, along with the hundreds of ballistic missiles, it was a little bit of a turkey shoot for the Israeli Air Force, shooting them all down. And essentially, 98% of the weapons being launched into Iran have not made it to their targets, and it's an ineffective weapon system against Israel, whereas before they thought that that number of missiles would shut the whole country down and they would not be able to survive the trauma that comes with it. Israel has prevailed very clearly given that tactic, and it's very clear that the tactic they put together is not working. Now, the goal of Israel in their campaign of Rising Lion is obviously to take out the nuclear program, including all of their nuclear sites. There's one site in particular. It's the deep bunker site that's a half mile deep. It's called Fordo. It's southwest of Tehran. It's in the middle of some mountains. Mountains surround the whole area. And if you've been watching the news media this week, here in the U.S. press, they're all talking about the GBU-57 massive ordnance penetrator, the bunker buster bomb. The bunker buster bomb that we're talking about is 30,000 pounds. It has to be carried by a B-2 bomber to be deployed. And it is capable, according to the specs, of penetrating 200 feet into the ground before it goes off. The idea is if you want to go deeper, you have to drop another one that follows that one, and then it goes deeper, and another one after that that goes deeper, and so forth. Well, I would remind everybody, Fordo and that facility is 2,000 feet deep. The penetrators only make it 200 feet. So there's a lot of question about whether or not that weapon system is able to do it, even for the U.S. to do it. And there was a press report that President Trump was asking a lot of questions about that. How in the world do you get deep enough with that weapon to be able to do it? And so it's not a for sure that that weapon can take out that site. But it's very clear that that site must be taken out. It was obviously built to survive an attack and a bombing attack. At the moment, there is no other conventional arms that is able to do it. There are, however, two other options that nobody is talking about. I think the reason is they're afraid to talk about it. And that is a full-out commando raid that could be launched against the site where you have commandos actually go down in the place, fight their way into it, plant explosives, and then get out of there and blow the thing up from the inside out. The other is a tactical nuclear weapon. And Fordo presents a very interesting option to Israel in that regard, because one, it's isolated away from inhabited areas. It's surrounded by mountains. It's a self-contained remote location. In fact, if you were trying to design a test range for a tactical nuke, you couldn't find a better place for it. And a tactical nuke, of course, has a kill radius of about 1 mile in every direction. This thing is a half mile deep. I'm sure it would take it out. I might also mention to you that Israel is a master at tactical nuclear weapons. So they're just trying to take out precise targets. Sometimes they're referred to as micro nukes. And they are the ones who developed the weapon system called a neutron bomb, which is able to destroy and kill anything that's organic within a certain range without heavy blast effects. But I can assure you the blast effect would be sufficient to take out an underground site. The additional goals, and this wasn't a stated goal of what was going on with Rising Lion, but it could be a positive thing that comes out of it, and that is a complete change of the regime that is controlling Iran. Take out the mullahs, take out the theocratic government that they have of the Shiite Muslims. Now, the real challenge is to somehow get Iran to agree we're not going to have a nuclear weapons program. So the discussion has come up this week, should we take out Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran? We heard a press report where it said specifically Trump had said, no, let's not do that. I think the reason why he said that is because he does have hopes for a negotiation with Iran. He thinks they want to come talk to him, or at least the Iranian representatives are talking to anybody that will listen to him, trying to get to the U.S. and say, we want to talk, we want a ceasefire, let's talk. And of course, everybody in the world at this point knows game is up for Iran. Every time they do that, all they want to do is talk, but they don't change anything whatsoever. And there's no belief on the part of any world leaders, and I'm sure the advisors to President Trump have told you this. Khomeini is a religious man, and he has a belief system in which that he thinks that he's looking for his Messiah, the Mahdi, to show up in the midst of a great conflagration. And so it's a death cult, essentially. There's no reason for him to negotiate like a normal, objective leader of a nation. So Trump is weighing his options about whether or not he wants to get involved in this campaign with Israel. If you remember a week ago when Israel started this action, the Trump administration quickly were coming out and saying, no, we didn't do this. We're not doing anything offensive. We're not part of that. We're only supporting Israel and defending themselves. We're not part of that. All over the place trying to convince everybody, no, our hands are not in this. We are not attacking Iran. However, because of the success of Israel in 1 week, all of a sudden he's changed his mind. He'd like to be a part of the winning solution here. And he has a commander, the CENTCOM commander, General Michael Kirilla. Kirilla, they call him the Gorilla, is his nickname. He is a no-nonsense four-star general who really means business. And he's bold enough and strong enough, which I'm sure is what Trump loves, that he's got a plan on how the U.S. could go in and take out Iran along with Israel. As a result, there are now reports that many strategic forces are now inbound into the region. And by that, I mean joining the one aircraft carrier battle group that's in the Arabian Sea. We have two aircraft carrier battle groups, one from the East Coast, one from the West Coast, making their way to the Middle East right now. Long-range aerial tankers to do in-flight refueling for fighter aircraft and bombers have already moved in, more than two dozen of them. That will sustain Israel and all U.S. Air operations for an extended campaign over the top of Iran. There's more surface ships coming in, the same surface ships that have anti-missile technology, just like those of the DDGs that are sitting in the Eastern Mediterranean. There's more F-22 squadrons and F-16 squadrons that have been moved into the area. The B-2s that used to be down in Diego Garcia, they've been moved. We're not quite sure where they've been moved to, but they have been relocated. They are the weapon system that can carry the bunker buster. So those are on the move as well. Now, according to the DOD, they need about 2 weeks for everybody to be strategically in place, ready to go. That may be why President Trump has said, I'm going to give Iran 2 weeks. By the way, all the ships that were in the Navy port there at Bahrain in the Persian Gulf, the Fifth Fleet, they have put to sea so that they don't get attacked while sitting in port, so they're more able to defend themselves when they're operating in the ocean. All non-essential personnel in and around the Middle East of the U.S., including the U.S. Embassy, has been moved out. They're relocating them. In effect, there is a military mobilization going on the part of the U.S. right now. There's no question that everyone in the world believes the U.S. is getting ready to enter into this conflict against Iran, joining with Israel. So let's step back and look at what is Trump considering. Well, option number one, and he's talked about this a lot, he would like to get the Iranians to start negotiating with him. He wants them to surrender their nuclear weapons program. He wants them to willingly do this and avoid military conflict. As you know, Trump hates the idea of war, does not like starting wars. He'll sometimes end them, but he does not like starting them. It could include a one-off, which we call U.S. strike on Fordo. We could send the B-2s over and see if the bunker busters could take it out. That's not necessarily a guaranteed thing, although everybody talks like it is. That thing is really deep in the ground, and quite honestly, that weapon system has not been used in combat yet. We don't know for sure that it will work. Option number three. The U.S. stays out completely and we let Israel finish the job. Well, Israel has already said that we welcome the U.S. coming in and helping out, but quite honestly, it's not required. Israel is not requiring the U.S. to do it. So how would Israel finish this all off? Well, the ideal weapon at this point for that nuclear site would be a tactical nuclear weapon. That's the ideal target, and that's the ideal weapon. And as I mentioned to you before, a tactical nuke has a kill radius of about a mile, and that would more than cover that half mile going down into that location. It would just turn that thing into a big smoking hole, and it would be a no-go zone for many generations. Nobody go there because of the radioactivity. Unless they use something like a neutron warhead, which will be high dissipation of the radiation, which would give a shorter time frame that the ground could be recovered then. Option number four, and that's the one that it appears the world thinks is getting ready to happen. That's a U.S. full-out destruction of Iran, which would result in regime change and the reconstitution of the Iranian government. But the big question is, who would be in charge of Iran? And in times past, when the U.S. has come in and done that, where they have a regime change, it's usually not worked out well. And this business of the military then stepping up and doing nation building afterwards, the day after kind of stuff, the question here for, just like in Gaza, the question would be for Iran, who rebuilds it? Does China or Russia jump in and then seize control of the thing? Would that be a better solution? Probably not. Can the citizens of Iran rise up and throw their government out? And can they get back to being a democratic society? There is a crown prince of the former family with the Shah, the original leadership in Iran. He's going around making a lot of speeches and trying to get back in there himself. Whether or not those are choices for Iran in the future, that is only time will tell about that. So Trump has given the situation 2 weeks. That would look like we're going to have an answer by July 4th. Quite honestly, I don't think the negotiations are going to happen. I think he's using the two-week thing as simply to get the forces ready so that the U.S. is strategically positioned to be able to do whatever option four is. Interestingly enough, the IAEA, the ones that are monitoring the international nuke stuff, believes that Iran could possibly build a bomb in 2 weeks. Mossad has specifically told Netanyahu they believe Iran can build a bomb in 15 days. So Israel has to get done in 2 weeks. The real question at this point, since Trump has posed this two-week delay, will Israel wait the full 2 weeks? Is the two-week delay simply a ploy to set the stage for Israel to do something dramatic? It is very clear that Israel has a lot more tricks up their sleeve, and in fact, I can tell you this, that while the whole world is focusing on Donald Trump and what he might do or not do and so forth, Israel has a plan, and they are carrying out the original plan that they had from the beginning. And part of that plan is to get the 1,500 Israeli citizens that were locked outside of Israel before the war started. They're getting back into the country. In fact, a cruise ship arrived in Ashdod carrying many of them back and getting some other IDF personnel back into the country. Several people in Israel would like to leave and go internationally for things they need to do, but at the moment, Israel is still locked down for it. So let's talk about the final assessment. Let's talk about where we're really at. It's in the best interest of the United States for Iran to have no nuclear weapons. There's no question about that. In the case of Iran, they're trying to do everything they can to survive what's going on. Let's go into ceasefire. Let's survive. They want to maintain as much as they can. The idea is that they survived and they'll rebuild. Israel must end Iran's nuclear program. This is their best shot to do it. And I don't think they're going to be satisfied with just setting it back for a couple of years. They need to end it. Now, Israel has been successful so far since October 7th of destroying the Iranian proxies. Hezbollah has been taken back. Hamas has been taken back. The Houthis have been knocked down. And now it's time to take down Iran, the instigator of all these problems. If you really look at the assessment at this point, while everybody's focusing on Donald Trump and what is the U.S. going to do, it's Israel that really has the best choices. Their decisions are even more certain. And if you just stop and think about it for a moment, if Israel makes the decision to take out the Iranian plants before the U.S. attacks, this is less trouble for the United States. And it's actually the optimum solution for Donald Trump and the United States here. The battle we are seeing and the way it has unfolded, this is a battle between Allah and the God of Israel. As you know, in Iran, every time there's an explosion, every time something happens, they all yell Allah Akbar, which means Allah is greater. They're always trying to praise Allah for whatever takes place. However, it's been very difficult for Iran to praise Allah that he's greater since Iran has lost air superiority, Israel has lost no pilots, and every weapon that Israel has launched has been on target. And it's very clear at this point that Iran's supreme leader, his days are definitely numbered. Everybody's talking about when we're going to take him out. Now, I pay attention to a lot of sources, and some of them are literally at the rumor mill level, but I'm hearing sources inside of Iran, inside of Israel, some that are in interesting positions to be able to hear things and pass things on, as well as the normal media sources that we have. I think there's a possibility there's more coming this weekend. I'm not sure what that is, but I think Israel has something planned even more so this weekend. We need to continue to pray about that war, continue to pray for Israel and all of its conflicts, especially pray for the hostages that are still in Gaza as the IDF continues to uproot Hamas and get their hostages back. Thank you for watching our program. Please hit that like, share, and subscribe on your YouTube channel. And we'd love to have you subscribe to lionelamb.tv, our subscription service. You can get a free subscription to our Yavo monthly magazine, informative articles, podcasts on all of our platforms, including social media platforms of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and X, whatever you prefer, we're on there. And let me go ahead and encourage you this fall coming up, registration for Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles is now open. Go to tabernaclesevent.com. We would love to have you come and join like-minded brethren from all over the United States and the world who will be coming to celebrate for 8 days the Feast of Tabernacles here in Oklahoma. There's only two more weeks of our program supporting Lakat Israel. These are the people that are distributing fresh food throughout the land of Israel. And right now, they are doing a Herculean job of getting food. There's plenty of food in Israel. The problem is getting it moved and distributed to where the people are at. And Lakat Israel does that. We have a Stand with Israel fundraiser program. All proceeds are going to go to that organization to help them to provide fresh food to all of the people that are in Israel. Thank you again. Shabbat shalom to all of you.